So over the past few weeks, we've been looking at what it is to have contagious joy. That joy that is deep, abiding, that joy that is contentment. The joy of knowing Jesus personally, having the same mind as Christ, knowing that we are loved and valued by him, knowing that we are completed in him. So now we come to this next part of Philippians, focusing on the goal. So my question to you is, are you a person who sets goals? Now, I read something the other day. The secret to a long, healthy life is to drink 8 glasses of water a day. Now, I'm going to be really honest and say I don't do that. And if I was, I think I'd be running to the bathroom a lot. But I'm sure it's a very good goal to have. I'm sure it's very good for you. Setting goals in our lives can often keep us focused. Now, Clayton and I believe, do this very differently to one another. Clayton has enjoyed running for quite a while now. He has run a number of marathons over the years, and we have the medals to prove it. In fact, I even went online and bought 2 beautiful hangers, went and hung his medals on the one, went to go and hang one of my quilts on the other, and out he comes out of the bedroom with a bunch more. So the 2 hangers have all his medals, and he now has that proudly up on the wall. To be able to run a marathon is a lot of training. Months and months and months beforehand. Goals set along the way not only involves the running, but it involves getting up early. It involves eating well, which is he calls fueling, sleeping well, and then looking after your body well. But along the way, as Clayton is getting older, there are more and more injuries, and I can assure you he's not a happy person with that. Now, I don't run, will never, ever run, although I'm told that it's a good weight-bearing exercise, is what my new daughter-in-law has told me. So I'm just going to stick to the walking with the dog. That's okay for me, and I too set goals with that. So I have been someone who has set goals throughout my life, quite often, work-related, personally, and even health-wise, where Clayton has set his goal and has strived to get there by himself. I've always liked to have someone walking the journey with me, someone I'm accountable to, someone who cheers me on, celebrates the wins with me, and encourages me when I'm not quite reaching it. Someone who shares in the journey. Do you set goals? How do you do it? And do you feel like you're winning? In the verses of Philippians, Paul refers to focusing on the goal, the spiritual goal, through an athlete's perspective. With all that he had taught them before, he was making sure that they knew that they needed to stand strong in their faith, stand firm in the Lord, and don't get distracted. For any athlete to reach their goal, it's not something that's achieved in a couple of months, but it takes years and years of training and focus. Then the ultimate, they get that reward, that medal to show that they have won. So what does it mean for us and our relationship with Christ to have that citizenship in heaven and waiting for Christ's return? Paul exercises a spiritual mind, looking at things on earth from the mind of Christ. Throughout his writings, he uses many illustrations from the world to communicate the truth of the Christian life. There's the military illustration, put on the whole armour of God. The agricultural term of whatever a man sows, he'll also reap. Now we're seeing the athlete concept of focusing on that end goal, running the race, running it well, that race of spiritual life. It's important to note that Paul is not telling us how to be saved here. We are already the children of God through our faith in Christ. 1 John 3 verse 2 says, "We are now children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. We now have the responsibility of running the race, achieving the goals that God has set out for us. Paul says, work out your salvation, for it's God who is working within you. We are each on the track, each in our own lane, running our own race, with our own goals to achieve, and all of it is to one day receive the reward in heaven with Christ Jesus. So Paul starts in verse 12 with a sanctified dissatisfaction. Not that I've already obtained it, nor am I already perfect, but I press on. Paul here is satisfied with his salvation, but not with the Christian life. A sanctified dissatisfaction is an essential part of the Christian race. Many followers of Christ are self-satisfied because they can compare themselves to others, other fellow believers, and measure themselves there. Our only guide of reference is and should be comparing ourselves with Christ Jesus. We have not yet got to perfection, but Jesus was perfect. The mature Christian honestly evaluates himself against this guide and then strives to do better. We need to be careful to self-evaluate as it can go either one of two ways. We can think of ourselves better than others or less than. Stay focused, press forward, be like Christ and have that divine dissatisfaction. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Verse 13, Paul's referring to this one thing I do. It's an important phrase for us in this race. No athlete succeeds by doing everything, but specialises in the one. I'm sure there are athletes that are gifted in a number of sports, but I think that they're in the minority. Those who win concentrate, keep their eyes on that one goal and let nothing distract them. They're totally sold out, devoted to what they're training for. In the Gospels, Jesus spoke often about the one thing. To the self-righteous, rich young ruler in Mark 10, he says, one thing you lack. To Martha, when she was so busy preparing the meal and getting cross at her sister Mary, doing nothing, Jesus says, only one thing is needed here. The psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I desire of the Lord, I will seek after. We as Christians get often in too many things. We get so busy in the doing when the secret is that we are called to focus on one thing, the one goal. Before the tragedy of the Chicago fire in 1871, a Mr. Moody was involved in promoting Sunday school, YMCA work, evangelistic meetings, and many other activities in the church. But after the fire, he was determined to devote himself exclusively to evangelism. This one thing I do became his reality, and as a result, millions of people heard the gospel and were saved. It is what is most important to prioritise and live for what matters most. Quite often we can also focus on the past, be controlled by our past, and yet we're called to run the race, looking toward the future. I would think that if Clayton looked back at any stage of his run, he'll definitely fall over. In fact, I can guarantee he will fall over. His focus being on what or who might be behind him and not finish that line, which is the ultimate spot to reach. We often look to our past, focus and talk about our past. You know, those good old days. And I'm going to say they were good old days. To focus on what is ahead doesn't mean that we fail to remember all that has been. No person can forget what has brought us to the present, who we are, what we have been. Paul is saying here, don't let your past hold you back. Let go of all that hinders you moving forward. Place the focus where it needs to be. As children of God, we are not held captive by our past sins, but washed clean daily. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin." Our past can be our inspiration for our future. Genesis 45, we read about how Joseph met his brothers for a second time, revealed himself to them. He held no grudges towards how they treated him as he saw the past from God's view. Joseph knew God had a plan for his life, a race for him to run, and in fulfilling that plan and looking ahead, he broke the power of his past. Don't be held back by the regrets of your past. Don't look back and fall over. In verse 14, it talks about pressing on, and it carries the idea of intense endeavour, that determination to reach your life goal. Philippians 3:14 says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The Christian runner with a spiritual mind knows that it is God working in his life every day if he is going to reach that destination to win the race. As we continue to apply ourselves to being like Christ, maturing in our faith, we get closer and closer to receiving the reward in heaven. The memories of a race here on earth fades over time, but the lifetime of a crown Christ will give us never fades. And then we get to stay disciplined. Verses 15 and 16, we're reminded of the importance of staying focused on what we already know as we mature. Throughout Scripture, we read of those who were running the spiritual race well, but they took their eyes off God and lost their way. They started strong, but lost focus. They got distracted. Philippians 3:16, Paul says, "Let us live up to what we have already obtained. Keep going." So this morning, the challenge is to think, where are you on your journey? Are you keeping on going? Are you running your race well? Are you focused on your end goal, or have you got distracted along the way? Have you found yourself looking back? What's needed to get back on track, if that is the case? What's needed to stay in your lane and to focus on finishing well, to be more like Christ and receive the reward of life with him? I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, we thank you this morning as we come to you, knowing that we are your children, your people, striving to be like you in everything that we do. Lord God, we can get tempted to stray and be distracted. Lord God, renew our minds with the truth of your word again this morning. As we desire to serve you, as we desire to focus on your purposes, give us a sense of your presence right now. Draw us close to you so that our eyes are fixed on you. We are not always strong enough to run the race that you call us to, but we know that in your power we can do it and we can focus on finishing well. Lord, do your work in our lives today and throughout the coming days ahead.